Port City Catholic.
What?
How's it going? Mr. Crate.
Mrs. Fabrizi, it's going just fine.
It is August 27th. Can you believe the summer is almost over?
School is coming back in a week.
I know. So DMCS, you guys are back. Like the teachers, you guys are back, right?
Yeah, we just came back today.
And by teachers, I'm including you because you are officially a middle school teacher.
Yeah.
As of today. Wow. You got a new, shiny new office. Mm-hmm. You're going to be sharing, it's going to be kind of some team teaching between the three middle school teachers, right?
Yep.
So it's going to be good stuff. And yeah, my kids, I have my four kids starting at three new schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Tried homeschooling for the year and that was an adventure. now it's time for professionals to take over. Yeah, unfortunately we can't manage getting back to DMCS, but hopefully in the future that would be grand. But yeah, my daughter's starting high school. You guys, if you're listeners, you've listened to Grace talk about Steubenville last time we were here. She's heading off to high school and then...
She was at Steubenville.
She did.
In the summer,
she went, yeah. So our last episode, Father Aaron and Grace discussed Steubenville quite a lot. And I just sat here and looked pretty. Just kidding. I just sat here quietly. No,
is there photographic evidence?
Yeah, no, I know. It was a mask. I was faking it. No. But anyways, I just interjected as though I had something worthy to say, but you know, whatevs. Yeah, then my son's starting middle school. Well, he's in middle school, but he's starting a new middle school for him. And then my youngest two are in elementary. So it's going to be all kinds of, hey, Jen, don't screw up the schedule and forget who's where. All of a sudden it dawned on me that unlike DMCS, where everyone finishes at the same time, my grade one student is going to be finishing 2 hours before
they finish at 1 o'clock.
They finish at 1:30.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, he'll finish at 1:30, finish at 2:30, and then the older ones who are actually old enough to babysit won't be home until at least 3:30. So I'm like, oh, okay. Because I'm working part time now, and so I just have to kind of do a little juggling. But yeah, it's good. It's all good. We'll see how that rolls out. But I might be a bit. If you see me on the street and I'm looking a little lost and hairy, fellas, it's not you. It's the it's my brain exploding.
It's the school schedule.
From the school schedule. Yeah, I was the teacher when I was talking to the administrative assistant at the elementary school. I was asking about school hours. She started rattling off the breaks. And I'm like, no, I can't. Just tell me when it opens and when it closes. That's all I need to know. I can't handle this. Don't tell me anymore. But she did. She told me everything. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to remember that. I just need to know what time do I have to be at the gate to pick up my son.
Do you want me to tell you the coffee break in the morning?
I know. When do I come for coffee? Yeah. Yeah. So, no, but it's going to be good. They're all just going to their local schools. What a concept. Mm-hmm. Grace is in youth group and they had a discussion a while back, I guess, about what was better, homeschool, private school, or public school? And Grace spoke up, well, as the only person who's done all three, let me give you my opinion, right? She's been to, yeah.
What was her opinion?
I can't remember. That wasn't the point. She didn't really tell me.
She did have an opinion.
She had an opinion. I think she said they all had their, knowing Grace, she'd be like, well, there's pluses and minuses to all of them. Anyway, so she's, but she's off to high school, so... So you guys, if you're listening, say a prayer for all of our students and new teachers returning. It's a bit daunting for everyone. It really is every time. No matter how prepared you are, no matter how many lesson plans you have, you know, things are just going to change for the kids, for the parents, for the teachers. So just let's all have a bit of grace for one another while we adjust and keep our teachers and students in your prayers, please. So, Father Aaron, you're not here tonight. We hope you're listening. We can't wait to see you back. You'll probably be sporting some kind of fabulous tan or something. Who knows what you're up to? Just kidding. But anyways, okay. but the show must go on. Mm. So So Father Aaron and I decided a while back that due to our scheduling irregularities, that it would be really good to have a third podcaster. And we both said, hey, what about Michael Crate? And there we both are like, yes, this is a good choice.
And then I ran off for 2 months.
And then, yeah, and then Michael's like, yeah, great, I'm going to China. We're like, okay, we can handle this.
So
anyways,
precious.
But so listeners, loyal listeners, thank you. You just tune in. You never know which two of us are going to be here. If there are two of us here, we will be podcasting. And we're planning to podcast only once a month now. it's not going to be as straightforward as being necessarily the last week of the month, but hey, maybe it is. Maybe we'll see. But you know, we should be getting a show out once a month. So you'll hear some of us.
There'll be people talking.
It'll be juggling. We're just juggling hosts, and if none of us are available, we'll just pick two people off the streets and have them do it. So, like, how hard can this be, right? So just we've pretty much shown like you need like no skills to do this.
Saying I have no skills?
Oh no, I mean myself. The founding members are I'm not speaking for father, but you know, yeah. Anyways, moving right along. Now that I've insulted all of my castmates, and so yeah, you ran off for a little while. And tell us, where did you run off to?
I went to Ningbo, China.
Wow.
And yeah. It was an English summer camp. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Taught there. It was really good because going into teaching, I was thinking like I'm gonna suck at it, not gonna be good, and like I did a really good job.
Good.
And other people noticed that, and that was like really affirming.
Awesome. God gave you that grace, eh? Like just a little like warm up to say you can do this. Yeah.
And I got back and Judy said, "See, I told you so. You can do it."
Awesome. Yeah, well, you have taught before. I mean, you've been the ESL teacher for a number of years, so it was more of a tutoring kind of one-on-one thing, so which is different.
So it was very different for me.
But I know you're going to be a great teacher. You're very patient. You're very gentle with the kids. It's going to be great. And yeah, I think it's going to be a blessing for sure to the school. So we went to Ningbo, China. Am I saying it right?
It's a city no one's ever heard of. Yeah, I know.
But it's like 8 million people. I'm like, oh, wow.
And it's huge. Yeah. Like the downtown, all the buildings, like lights everywhere.
Yeah, like skyscrapers and everything. And
I did see a church there, Catholic church.
Oh, really? Did you guys get to go?
No. Oh. That was the problem. That was something like that I really missed, because with the camp schedule and like not knowing where anything was, like couldn't get to Mass. But the church that I was thinking of going to Mass for, going to Mass was just like closed.
Oh.
I thought it was open, but I guess there was a fire like 5 years ago.
Oh, no.
But it was really interesting. Like there was a statue of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, outside and a statue of Mary holding baby Jesus up. And that really surprised me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't expect to see that in China.
Yeah, that's kind of outward displays of religiosity.
But that would be allowed.
Yeah, we hear that that's kind of not permitted in certain places.
Yeah, and that's what I had heard, too.
Yeah. Like,
and apparently, like, you're allowed to be Christian in that, but, like, you're not supposed to, like, go around, like, passing out Bibles or, like...
Yeah, to evangelize,
talking
right?
about Christ. But that surprised me. So I think it just kind of showed me, just even seeing those, like, China's different than like what my concept or idea of it was.
I bet it is. I think that's how it is whenever you go somewhere new, no matter, you can't really imagine it until your feet are on the ground. And even then it would take years of actually living there and knowing it inside out to get a sense, right? So you went with a team of other educators.
From New Brunswick, Southern New Brunswick.
So I didn't realize it was kind of a promoting the province type of thing, right?
Yeah, you were saying. that was part of it.
Yeah, attracting Chinese businesses and students and people to come to immigrate to
come to school in New Brunswick.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we've certainly had several students from China come to DMCS, right? And that's been such a beautiful contribution to the community, and also from other countries. And it's really neat. I mean, when I had taught students who had come, you know, across the world to come study at our little tiny school, it was humbling to think, wow, like, you know, you moved your child across, like, you know, thousands and thousands of miles for this education. Like, I better do a good job. You know, I better do a good job. I better, you know, of course you want to do a good job, but it just kind of hits home, like, how valuable our Canadian system is and our Catholic school, like, you know, how valuable it is. So, it's good all around. So you taught at the summer camp. It was like an ESL type of thing. Kids
learning
English.
Yeah, it was an ESL
English?
Camp. Okay. Yeah, but they also had like activities as well. Okay. So I was an ESL teacher, so I had a class, but other people like taught sports or Western etiquette or about travel.
Okay.
So
how much English did these kids typically have before they arrived?
It was surprising. The first week kids were 11, 14. They had quite a bit of English.
Okay, they probably
But they're not used to like being asked questions or like kind of having to like
actually use conversationally.
Like, use the vocabulary. But the older kids were a lot stronger.
Okay.
And that the younger kids, like the 7 to 11 year olds, they struggled a bit more. Like we needed to play games to learn. So we did fruit salad a lot.
Okay.
But yeah, it was even surprising because they told us initially that they won't speak a lick of English.
Yeah.
And it was just totally different for both groups.
Okay, neat. Well, that's good. And a lot of, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of learning language on paper, and when it comes to speaking, it doesn't come out. And sometimes you're surprised when the kids actually, like, how much they've just picked up along the way, right? So that's great.
It
That
was
sounds
just
so
neat to
exciting.
give them the opportunity to, like, the freedom to fail, almost in a way. I didn't tell
Yeah.
it to them that way, but, like, I would emphasize if I made mistakes
Yeah.
doing things just so they could, like, oh, wow, it's okay. Like,
Get
the
yeah.
teacher, Lao Shi, which is Chinese for teacher,
Lao Shu,
was
okay.
like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And so that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. 'Cause, I mean, maybe it's a stereotype, but stereotype I've heard, you know, like that the Chinese school system is very demanding and very making mistakes would be very frowned upon. Is that correct?
Oh
And that's
yeah,
hard
or
in
to tell
language
the
learning.
teacher that you don't understand, like the way they look at it is that shames the teacher.
Oh, okay.
And so they won't, they'll just say, yeah, we understand, even when
Okay.
they don't.
Okay, interesting.
A cool thing that I really want to share is I did creative writing with the kids the first week. The kids who had more English. So I brought them out. So we split them up into groups because I had other people helping the class that day. So I was able to make it into groups of three. Excuse me. I had these three kids and they were writing, like looking at something in nature and then just talking about it.
Yeah.
And I asked them what they thought. And I asked this one boy named Oscar, so what did you think? Did you like this? And he said, yeah, I did. Because at my school here, like, the teacher tells me what to write, but I got to write about what I wanted to.
Oh.
And that really struck me that something so simple and small that seems almost meaningless, that he was kind of maybe given for the first time the freedom, like in a kind of academic like environment, to
Creative.
be creative, to express himself. Like this kid has a name and an identity.
Yeah.
And
Oh.
that how it's beautiful that you can find that through kind of academics in a way,
Yeah.
to show them that's not separate.
Yeah. Oh, that's
So,
awesome. Beautiful.
yeah.
And speaking of creative writing, you said you'll be teaching creative writing this year at school, so that's exciting. Yeah, that's great.
I call it, I did it last year and I at the school, creative writing,
Creative
right?
writing.
So I would
Yeah,
always give things to the kids and I'd put it like that. I put creative writing.
and so kids, if you're listening, Mr. Great Students, put lots of puns in your creative writing and he'll give you an A. Like, that's the
You
answer.
might get a bonus mark. We'll have to look at the rubric.
Yeah, I think the rubric, there's going to be a column saying incor wise witty, sorry, witty incorporation of puns, because puns are witty, not necessarily wise. But yes, this is, I think, probably why. Just one of the reasons why I love Mr. Crate so much is his he likes puns as much as I do. Maybe more so. I'm
It
like,
depends. It depends.
it
I
depends. Oh,
love
come on. Like, if the sun is shining or if it's a day that ends with a Y, right? On those days you like the puns. Yeah, you know, not so much those days when it's, you know, yeah, when we're living on Mars and yeah, whatever. Come on. Don't You can't lie to me.
I'm sorry. I need to go to confession
Yes,
now.
it's the puns. I live for puns. It's okay. I know we have some listeners who are quite punny themselves, and are some of you are groaning, but we don't care because we love puns. People who love puns, you know,
Send us your
it's
puns.
not the lowest form of humor. That's a lie. They're just jealous. They're jealous, I'm telling you.
It's probably a more
Puns are
creative
great.
form of humor.
Yes, it's fun. It's playful. It's creative. Yes. Anyways,
W.
enough of.
W. H. Auden, I gotta say something. W. H. Auden, famous poet, the 20th century, he says that poetry happens even when you make a joke, because
Oh.
your jokes are poetry. And
Yeah.
so, for all you punners out there,
There you go.
you're
You're just
poets.
poets. Yes. And I'm gonna refrain from saying, and you didn't know it. So, but then I said anyways, wah
But I
wah. No.
didn't know it.
Yeah. But the thing is about poetry, yeah, and jokes are, I was reading a book, oh, by somebody, but how jokes are really humor. It plays on words. I think it was actually a book by Chomsky. I didn't, well, it was by Chomsky and someone else. It was about what makes human language distinct from other animal communication. Anyways, and it was about, yeah, humor and maybe this isn't their idea, but whatever. Sorry, I always do this. I start attributing things to people and then I get caught up on the footnotes before I spit it out. But humor is really about abstract thought and plays on words, right? That you're expecting a certain thing to come out. And when you say it, it's incongruous and yet congruous at the same time. It's abstract. And the fact that we can recognize it and laugh at it. You know, when you're learning a foreign language, being able to laugh at their jokes is a huge accomplishment. When you're like, oh, I get it, right? When you can get a play on words and when you can get what's going on. So, yeah, nothing like taking the fun out of humor by discussing it, picking it apart analytically, right? Well, Mr. Crate, if all has gone well in post-editing, this may be the first episode that actually had featured any editing. So if you all just heard some little interlude there, you should be very proud of JFab, because it basically, like, took me a lot of work to figure out how to do that. Mm-hmm. But we had opportunity to pause briefly there. Mm-hmm.
Stretch break, look at the sunset.
Stretch break, it's beautiful sunset. It's very pink out there right now, isn't it? All is well in the Fabrizi home now, thanks to that little break we took. And, So summer, you went to China. Mm-hmm. That's good. I went to Ontario to visit family and friends and lots of family. You went to Quebec, Sherbrooke, Quebec. So you...
Was it restful?
It was not restful. I'm not going to lie. My vacations are if anyone travels a lot to see family, you know how it is. Like, you're delighted to see family, but it is, especially when you have multiple sets of twins in your family who are little and boisterous. It just takes one boisterous set of twins. I love you, boys. It was busy. It was busy. Lots of visiting, lots of travel. It was good. It was so good. We've learned over the years since we've been going back and forth just to not plan for every day. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't see everyone we want to see. Or we tell them, like, come see us. You know, like, our friends, we wanted to see them, but I'm like, I got to stay at my mom's house with the kids. I can't take them out again. If you want to come, like, come over, come have lunch with us, which you did. And, you know, things like that. But it's good. So my parents live next to a lovely family. They kind of all live out in the country. But the neighbors, it's kind of like a street out in the country, but the houses are pretty close together, relatively, for being out in the country. You can walk from house to house pretty easily. And so the kids just run back and forth. The neighbors have two boys the same age as two of my boys. So that was... So just because we love doing these interludes, we're showing off now. So yeah, sorry about that. Where were we? Just talking about how it was kind of busy. But so we were talking about, you were saying how you were sort of surprised to find that you weren't able to go to mass in China, which was something you were hoping to do, but to find out when you got there, the only church in the city was actually not, or the only church, it was
that,
closed.
That I knew of.
Or like, that you knew of.
There was another one, but like, these cities like are huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And like with the language barrier and like not really knowing how to get around and like being restricted with time, like it was, I felt bad though. To be honest,
well, you have to make your best effort, which you did.
But, you know, if I'm being honest, I don't know if I did. I was like, I'm thinking of these Christians, like, in Iraq who, like, will go through war zones. And when I got back, that really struck me because it was amazing to, like, receive the Eucharist again and go to Mass. Mm. But it really struck me. It's like, maybe I didn't.
Yeah.
That was just, kind strong of experience for me. Like, come on.
Yeah. Well, we also, part of our traveling is always kind of fun to be, where can we go to Mass, right? And so we kind of had an adventure on our road, on our drive to Ontario, because we drove through the States on a Saturday, and then we were spending Sunday in the Ottawa area with our friends. So last year we did the same thing and we spent Sunday with our friends and went to Mass in Smith Falls, Ontario.
That's where my grandparents are
from. No, St. Francis de Sales Church.
I've been there.
Yeah.
It was actually just there.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that's where we went to Mass last year. But this year, we were kind of we were driving up. We crossed the ferry at Lake Champlain from Vermont to New York State, and lo and behold, there was going to be a mass starting. Like, well, while we were on the ferry, I'm like, oh my goodness, there's a mass at 4:30. It's 4:15 right now. We can do this. Let's go. So we went to mass in. Oh gosh, I can't even think of the name of the town we're in now. It was called St. John the Baptist. Anyways, was the name of the church. But that was kind of neat to go to mass there. And you know, it's still the same. It's different, but it's still the same, right? And anyways, and then back home, able to go back to you know, the parish I belong to before we moved out here in Ontario. And then on the way back, we spent the weekend in Quebec because it was my grandfather's 90th birthday. And so I was hoping to go to mass for my parents, like my mom's home parish where she lived, but it was about quite out of the way from where we were staying. So we ended up going to mass in Sherbrooke. There's a little St. Patrick's, a little Catholic church there. We've been there several times. When we're in Quebec, we'll go to mass there usually. So if we can't go to my mom's church, but it's neat, right? It's you know, my dear great aunt passed away not too long ago, and that was her parish. So it was nice to go there, knowing it's, you know, my Aunt Nora's parish. So did I say aunt or aunt? Do you remember? I think I said aunt
Is
and then
she
I
a
said aunt. I
Maritimer
know, I
now?
know. When I'm talking to Maritimers, I try to speak Maritimese and say aunt, but I'm really, she's an aunt. She's my Aunt Nora. She's not my Aunt Nora. Who am I kidding? Yeah, when I get back to Ontario, I'm like, oh, aunt, aunt. What do I say here? Aunt, right,
I'm from
yes.
Ontario too, so I don't even know which one you say where. I
I
just
know. We
say
say,
aunt.
it's funny, when I was teaching,
When, Dant?
Spelling a few years back to some of the kids. And they were talking about sort of weird spellings, and the word aunt came up, and the kids were like, "Aunt, aunt, what's wrong with that?" And I was like, "Never mind, we'll just skip that lesson." This doesn't apply to you guys, you know? Like sometimes the short A sound is spelled AU, as in aunt, and they're like, "Huh, aunt?" It's like, "Yes, aunt. Never mind." So, anyways, but yeah. There you go.
Another.
Maritimers, you're lovely. You're lovely. I talked to somebody who's from Ontario. Her husband's from New Brunswick. And she said that they call their Ontario family their aunties, and their New Brunswick family their aunties. It's so, yeah, I love it. Anyways, another Maritimese thing you picked up?
Well, no, I
No?
was when we were talking about going to mass in different places. I
Yeah.
went to Madonna House this summer,
All right. Yeah, tell us
and
about that.
going they have a chapel in the woods. It's called Our Lady of the Woods, and it's so beautiful. Like going there for mass and for morning or evening prayer because it alternates, and there are some like benches on the outside of it, but
Outdoors,
most
outside of
like
the church, you mean?
within the chapel,
Oh, okay.
but it's just the floor, and you go and sit on the floor, and it was such a beautiful experience. Like probably can't put it in amazing words, but I was just felt very close to God, like just because I could move my body in different ways than if you're just sitting in a pair, like kind of a
In the pew.
pew. Not did I say pair?
A
Sitting
pair.
in a pair.
Yeah. Sitting in a pair is tricky too,
Yeah,
but
it's smushy real
a pair
easy.
of pews. Yeah, no, it's true. It's funny. I've often had like when I think of Jesus, like I often kind of like imagine him like a sort of sitting on the ground, like lounging at his feet. I know we podcast hosters had a little prayer time together, sitting on the floor of the chapel, and it was very powerful. It was, yeah, I felt very comfortable and very yeah. Anyways, maybe. I don't know how much of that's just psychologically in my head, the comfort that we were like, that we were just like sitting on the floor, you know, just sitting there. But it was yeah, meaningful to me. I really felt Christ's presence when we were having that little meeting check-in
Just, I
there.
think it was very
So
real. Like,
yeah. So, and that was the last time all three of us were
is that the first time we did the
podcasting.
podcast? Oh, no, we didn't
We didn't
podcast
even
that
podcast. Oh,
time.
right, that was the no. That's right. So we didn't even pod. We planned. We were talking. We sat up there. No, did we? We podcasted the first time with you, and then the second time we said we were going to start with prayer. We went up to the chapel to pray, and then we started kind of discussing what we were going to talk about, and just turned into like just a good chat. And
Good
lo and
community sesh.
behold, yeah, it was a good little bonding session, I guess you could say. Well, at least, yeah. Yeah. For me, it was. I don't know.
I agree.
But
two-thirds, we're right.
Two-thirds of us felt bonded. I don't know. I'm not speaking to Father. He's not here. He needs to speak for himself. But anyways, no, but sorry, Father. Yeah, it was lovely. And I think the fact that we were just like sitting, just sitting before the altar, it was very humbling in a way, right? When you're just kind of like, you know, yeah, just, you know, at times kneeling, at times sitting, just there. Anyways, but yeah, that was a grace for sure. Anyways, so that sounds really, I've never been to Madonna House. I know that you and Miss, I know that Catherine Burnham has been there. Both of you love it very much. You went together. Yeah, maybe one day he'll get to go.
I think he would really love it.
I think I would. I think the reality of my life right now as a mother is that my vocation, my desire for things like that has to sort of find its time and place, right? The last couple years, I've had, well, I mean, 2 summers ago, I had grand plans to go away, and then I had to have surgery, and that laid me up for longer than I thought. So that, you know, went by the wayside. And then this summer, I was supposed to go on a retreat in June that I had booked months in advance. And, but because of my concussion and missing so much work and just recuperating so slowly, I had to cancel that pretty much the last minute. I was so devastated, but you know, timing is what it is. And, you know, it's okay. Like, you know, I'm at peace with, I'm somebody who tends to panic. I have an idea. I need to do it right away. It's like, I have to go. Like, this is my only chance. Like, if I don't go now, it's never going to happen. So I've been coming to peace with like, no, you know what? Like, these places aren't going anywhere. You know, it's not that I'm being slothful and putting it off. It's that I really resist having to put it off. It's for me to be patient and go, you know, God will make the proper time. And I'm sure when I do go, I'll be like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad it was now that I finally got to go, right? But I think from what I've heard of Madonna House, I think I would really love it.
Yeah, it was kind of like with Communion Liberation, like that movement. It's just another example of like Christian community on a big scale. It's not like, that's not to say that Christian community doesn't happen here. It does. But you just see it, like there's so many people around you that are struggling for the same thing and desiring the same thing and living it.
Yeah.
And Madonna House is really beautiful because like they live there.
Do you think for you personally, would that be something you would be attracted to live there all the time? Or are you just like, I'll visit, I'll retreat there?
I don't know. That's what Father Warm is like, don't, you go up there and you stay for a week, you don't stay there.
Once you get in, you get hooked, right?
And you know,
I guess everyone has it in their mind.
It's just joking. Yeah. But that happens to people. Like, I heard so many stories from people that are up there. They're like, I just said, going to come for a week. And then they've been there like 40 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Maybe an exaggeration, but there seems to be something like that. I don't know for myself. I don't know if I'm at that spot in my life, but going there for the week, like just connecting like the daily little things, like whether it was like weeding in the field or like shoveling cow crap out of the stalls, and like,
it's a lot of manual labor, right? Yeah. Like you really, like ora e labora, right?
But you really connect that like with loving Christ in the moment. You know, when I was throwing bale haze of bale. But what is it?
Bales of hay.
Bales of hay. I got to write
hay bales, bales of hay. Yeah.
Pronouns,
possessives, whatever.
Grammar.
The hay in a bunch so that you throw at the animals. Yes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Like, even in that, you're kind of like told, okay, you just go up there. Like, you kind of waited to be told what to do. So there's never like, it took me a while, but like in the end of it, you kind of see like there wasn't like any need to be anxious about anything because somebody was going to tell you what to do
and
show you how to do it. And which was kind of cool because then like an entrepreneur, do I have to do this? Maybe that'll impress someone that if I'm thinking of something creative,
I'm
like
being industrious and resourceful. And I don't know if the windows, it's so hot in here, but I'm not sure if it's going
to
throw off the
screen. So which aren't bad things in themselves, but for me, it was neat to connect that and learn about real life and like seeing people who are just very real and genuine and You know, and these people, like, they still have struggles just like any of us. And just to kind of live with them for a week
is
a joy.
It makes me kind of think about, I guess, any kind of, well, these people aren't, I guess, for the most part, consecrated, but they are dedicated, right? Like, they're choosing this.
They take promises.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're not, like,
but I'm not sure
brothers or sisters necessarily, right? They have, like, some type of fidelity to their community. But I think, like, going to any of these things, or, you know, if you go to stay at a monastery or something for a retreat, it's a beautiful life, but you realize, you know, yeah, we're not all called to that, and that doesn't make us less Christian or more Christian, no. right?
And it kind of shows you to go back, like, having had that experience coming back into your life, that there's a different way of living.
Yeah.
Not, you don't necessarily get it right away, you don't.
Yeah. There can be principles from that that you bring back. So one thing we were talking about when we were preparing, and this is, seems like a perfect time to bring it up, you called it the nitty-gritty life, right? Talking about the nitty-gritty life.
That's Catherine Doherty's...
is that her wording?
Thing, but yeah.
Okay. And for me, like, I have... I call it, like, the secret of, like, duty being, your duty being a gift. That you have a, duty is gift. That's how I kind of called it when I was kind of, like, dawned on me about this. And, yeah, so, I mean, let's talk about that. So, just we're talking here about the concept that, that every... You know, every moment of our life, no matter how mundane, no matter how taxing, no matter how arduous or fun or wonderful or easy, no matter what, every moment is sheer gift. And we are welcome to look for that gift and rejoice in it, right? And that's not to beat anyone up for not doing it or saying, oh, if you don't, like, this is the law, you have to do this. But to realize and to recognize these, like, there's just grace sprinkled everywhere in every moment, in the hardness and the suffering and the difficulty things, that every little moment there's something happening there, right? That, you know, I think Anne Voskamp, who's just a beautiful writer, she talked about how, like, talked about thinking about doing chores around your home as making art for the next person to come in. Like, when you make your bed, you make your room more beautiful. It makes the room look beautiful for the next person. When you tidy up your dishes, it's like you're making art for the, you're making the kitchen a work of art again. And for people who are maybe more personality-wise, like myself, aren't so, like, hung up on cleanliness, you know, but, you know, like, eh, what's the point? Who cares if a dish is out? Like, whatever, it'll get cleaned when it needs to get cleaned. The thought of, oh, you know, just my putting this away now as opposed to later is actually an act of love, like a Saint Therese type of thing, right? Like a little thing with great love. That helped me, that encouraged me greatly in my days to realize, oh, I can do these little things that are little, like, love notes to my family, right? Even if they don't necessarily notice it, I can imagine that they're picking up on that. And it reminds me of Carol Houselander in her book Read of God, which is one of my favorite books. She talks about not, and I've said this to anyone I've had a conversation with probably has heard me say this to them before because I love it so much, this idea that it's not so much asking ourselves, what would Jesus do in this scenario? You know, the whole what would Jesus do, we've been really big in the 90s. Good stuff. It was good. You know, definitely got people thinking, you know, being mindful of, you know, what's the right thing to do? How would Christ react, you know, for young people? But really, not what would Jesus do, but her saying is, like, not like a hypothetical what if Jesus were here, what would he do? It's like, no, Jesus is here and he needs, like, you are his hands here. You are the one who is able to birth him into the world here. So what does he want to do here? Because now you do it, right? Not, if Jesus were here, he'd suggest. It's like, no, Jesus wants to love that person, you know? Do it, like, you know, you need to be his hands and feet, you know. It's like, she talks a lot about how It's really a book about Marian devotion, actually. It's about how Mary birthed Christ into the world through her yes, and how we are called to, mystically, like birth Christ into the world through our yeses too, our free choice every time we say yes to God, we're bringing Christ into the world, right? And I think that really ties into that nitty-gritty ordinary life, right? Just what
The
is she?
monotonous
Those
stuff,
monotonous moments. I mean, another thing I read, Annie Dillard, who is a great, beautiful writer. Oh shoot, I forget the actual wording. Of course, I always do this. But what makes up our days makes up our lives, right? And so, I mean, our days aren't going to be exhilarating all the time, but if we can make our ordinary beautiful and meaningful and intentional and, an offering, then our life becomes a beautiful life and a meaningful life and a life that's an offering, right? And not every day is going to be identical. And sometimes, the thought of having identical days is just like can be, for some personalities again, like can be just like, oh, seem like a horrible millstone, right? But that there's just so much potential for saying yes to Christ in like every moment. And even like John of the Cross, like he said about how, and shout out to my good friend Tom, who you know where I'm going with this, Tom, who said that John, he's going to introduce me to this quote. John of the Cross said that he wrote this to monks and brothers, I guess, about, if you didn't, when you entered the monastery, I'm gonna, I just should stop quoting things because I do such a bad job. Paraphrasing, I'm paraphrasing. When you enter the monastery, don't be under the illusion that you're gonna have this easy peasy life now. Like you are going to be, God is gonna make you into the saint you're called to be through the rough edges of the people around you, the people who are, the rough circumstances and the people who humiliate you and embarrass you and rub you the wrong way. They are in your life to make you a saint, to teach you the virtues and love, to teach you to be virtuous, to teach you to be patient, to teach you to be kind, right? And he said, if you weren't looking for that, you shouldn't be in the monastery, right? Like, go live a lavish life out somewhere else. So I love that concept, and I encourage you all to look it up. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes because it's so much better
That's
than
a good idea.
John of the Cross.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's what my thought was when you mentioned the nitty-gritty life. What do you want to add to that? Look at us with the interludes.
Interlude number three.
Yes. What were you telling me about
It's
the
gonna be a
nitty-gritty life?
bit jumbled, but I was thinking about this. I was just driving back from Moncton yesterday. And I was thinking about this, like how I so often like look at my time and what I do and like whether it's interactions with people and like thinking, look, yeah, I got to get to my stuff now, or like, oh, I can't do this. I don't want to go out with friends because I'm tired. I need to have time to myself. And I was really thinking that like if I do that, I'm gonna be in a constant state of division. And of course, like you need to rest in that, but like for it to be a constant thought and battle, I'm always going to be divided. But if I just kind of dive into it and like just do it, just live in that moment. Someone's talking to me and I'm wondering like, okay, when's this going to stop? I got stuff to do. Then just like live in that. Because then if you're fighting it, you're not living, you're not listening, you're not loving.
Yeah. Either say, I gotta go, I can't talk, or else just be present and listen, right?
And so that's really where the gift comes, not just for the person, but really for myself. If whatever's before me, I've like be working in a school, like the day never goes as you think.
Oh, I know.
You make a plan, and like especially when I was in the office this year, like everything was just all over the place. But that's because your presence is needed
Yeah.
in different places. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Especially like for me, I was like, gosh, I got so much to do, like, but I was wanting to do it my way.
Yeah.
And so if it becomes a battle, a division. And so to do that, to live that, because I'm living it anyways, so I
Yeah.
can have a choice. Do I want to live and receive a gift? The gift of just giving myself? Or do I want to battle it? And so that's kind of coming to that, but
yeah, because like you said, like the same physical outward outcome looks the same. You're standing there for 15 minutes, not sitting at your desk filling out lunch order forms, right? Mm-hmm. You're standing talking to Mrs. So-and-so about her son, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about the pile of lunch forms on your desk or not, you know, but like you said, I mean, so much different, and what a different, mm-hmm. you know, that you have the opportunity to take that time and say, okay, mm-hmm. the lunch forms will wait. Yeah. And I'm going to listen to her mm-hmm. and see how I can help and how I can actually be present and like hear her and show her Christ's love in this, right?
I got a good quote from my friend Catherine Burnham. So she said this at the beginning of the year last year, because I was feeling a little overwhelmed, like all the stuff I need to do and like thinking about that. And she said, these are your tasks, but not the work. And by the work, she was referring to the children.
Mm.
So I have tasks. Everyone has tasks in their job, but what is the work? And like, to really live that, like I've got to be there anyways, like you said. Mm-hmm. You gotta with whatever you're doing, but you can really see what the work is before you can, like,
that's beautiful.
That's crazy.
See it again. These are your tasks.
These are your tasks, but not the work.
Okay. Yeah, and that's along those lines, in a sort of a practical tip. I mean, I find for myself, my memory's not what it used to be. And this isn't the concussion. It's just me getting, since I've had kids, like your brain allocates different things to different tasks and you try to multitask and it's just a mess. But because you're kind of constantly thinking about all your children, what they have to do as well as yourself and everything else. So, I mean, I used to remember everything when I was young. I thought I did. But oftentimes it's like, if I'm talking to you and I have a list of things to do, my fear is, if I don't do that right now, I'm going to forget. And so certainly for me, having like a paper agenda that is basically like stapled to my side. See the staples? Oh, okay. But it's basically...
That looks painful,
I know. I keep it in my purse. I actually bought a special purse just so I could hold my agenda properly. Like, this agenda goes with me everywhere. It is, you know, we don't have my... The purse is not in the room with me, but if we were talking about making plans, it would be out here. Like, I don't make plans without my agenda anymore. But just having that list...
Mm-hmm.
And having, as soon as you put something on your to-do list, right, obviously, like, you know, a lot of you are like, yes, we figured this out in the 80s, thank you. But, I mean, like having a to-do list just frees up your mind so much, right? Mm-hmm. Just putting it down on paper. It's like if you can't sleep at night because of the task of millions of things, that the best thing you can do is just, like, get up, write it down, go back to bed, right? Because it's so easy to sort of think, oh, I have to remember this. And then, right? And then all you're doing is sitting there thinking, Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting everything. Oh, no.
I'm laughing because my problem is that I forget to look at the list.
Oh, see, that's why you need the agenda. Go to Staples.
Same with agenda. I have them and I forget to look.
No, you got to get... See, my problem...
Staple it.
See, my problem was that... Yeah, staple it to your leg. I have... At work, we have a... we use Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very specific about entering all of our appointments in Outlook. And then my phone, though, just has, like, Google Calendar. Which was fine, but I was entering things at work on work and then entering things at home on home. And I had so many appointments, especially with like related to my concussion and recovery. And then I had things at work and I was just like losing my mind because I was kept missing things up. And my hours are, the nature of my work is like I'm working a different schedule every single day. I am basically meeting with people out in the community. So I go when they're available to meet with me. So one day I'm working mornings, one day afternoons, evenings, sometimes I'm doing both. Like it's just everywhere. So now throw in the kids and their different times of school ending and everything else. And we'll see how I do. Mm. But I finally bought an agenda in July, a paper agenda. And now it's like everything goes in there.
Page.
Literally. Yes. Yes. I have my month at a glance. Like it's like the spirituality of my agenda. Anyways, and I love it. It's changed my life. I feel like a competent person. Which is like such a huge accomplishment for me. And yeah, I mean, I haven't been a very dutiful agenda user in the past, but I think necessity forced me to get serious about this. I put a lot of thought into the style of my agenda. Like, you know, I have like long columns for the days rather than blocks and, you know, not, you know, make sure it's vertical and horizontal, all that kind of stuff. So, anyways, just going to say, yeah, you know, God can use things like a little agenda to turn your life around. So we're on an interlude road show today, number four, and I think that's our cue that we have to wrap this up. Well, guys, yeah, life carries on in the background while we carry what we try to.
Do you know what's kind of cool? This just kind of popped in my mind. It's going to come out mixed up like a puzzle in a bag. But we're talking about like nitty gritty and like do the mom and that. And like life is still happening while we're talking here together.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of
good. I know. I'm thinking like that's, yeah, what a great way for us. Like, oh my gosh, we're talking about how holy we are. Or not how holy you are, but like how beautiful it is to accept, you know, like how beautiful and holy it is to just accept all these circumstances. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, what are you doing at the door again asking for us for my attention? Come on, kid. Like, go play. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like, nice little kick in the pants of humility there. Yeah, right. So we do have, it's a sweltering day here, and I've opened the window now because it was so hot, but you hear the crickets. I'm not sure if they're picking up on the video or on the audio, but yeah, it's hot. It's nasty, and my kids are cranky because they're hot too, and the ice cream, Mr. Craig brought some ice cream over, and that helped, but they need to sit in a bucket of ice cream because it's so hot.
Can you imagine sitting in a bucket of ice cream?
That'd be so gross. It'd be so sticky and nasty. Ugh. I just got like, sometimes you're scooping the ice cream and you get your hand in it and it's just like, ugh, no. Mm-mm. All that sticky sugar, no, thank you. Although my son was like putting it on his nose and everything.
Which is earlier, fun.
Which is cute, yeah.
He pretended to be a cat.
Yeah, it was adorable actually. So, Mr. Crate, let's say a prayer and wrap this puppy up and put her to bed. Gouda. So, sounds good. Oh, another pet. There you go. That was a bonus one. Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in this day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wicked snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl throughout the world seeking the ruin of souls. Thank you, God. Thanks for this opportunity. Thank you for this time spent with Michael and our family, and it was great. It was great.
It was great.
Are you allowed to make puns when you're praying? I don't know.
I think so. I think Jesus is probably laughing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I hope so.
Try to do some Aramaic puns next time. It'd be even better. So, but yeah. Thank you, God. This is rough times going on in the church, but you are steadfast, and you love us, and you are with us. Our diocese is shifting. The wider church feels like it's caving in. But we know that you will prevail, that Christ is present in our church. Christ, you are ministering to us in the sacraments, and I know I'm grateful for that. And so thank you, Lord, for abiding with us, for choosing to remain with us through thick and thin. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yay!
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.